thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. I want to ask a question and answer. What is it that motivates a person to leave the land of their birth, to leave family, to leave friends, and to go to a land perhaps that they've never been to before, knowing that there is the real possibility that they might not return? I would like for you to turn to Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to look at Isaiah's classic call into the prophetic ministry and make application to answer this question: what is it that motivates a person into missions? This message is a call to missions. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah was allowed to see the Lord in His majesty in heaven, and when he saw Him, he realized how sinful he was, and he confessed, "I'm a man of sin, of sinful lips, and I'm with a people of sinful lips." And God cleansed him and then gave him the call in verse 8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And then Isaiah answered, 'I said, Here am I, send me.'" Once Isaiah got a glimpse of who the Lord was, once God had cleansed him and made him ready to be in the presence of God, all excuses aside, Isaiah could volunteer and say, "I will go, I will be available. I am here, Lord. Here am I, send me." If all goes as planned, in 2 or 3 weeks, my wife and I will get on a plane. We'll fly more than halfway across the world to the other side of the Pacific Ocean to a remote and probably seldom heard of island in Micronesia called Yap. When I first heard that, I thought, "You're joking. There couldn't be a place called Yap." Sure enough, eventually I found it. Now, if you imagine the Western Pacific, maybe you can think of where Japan is, and if you go about 1,500 miles south of Japan and put your finger in the Pacific Ocean, in the middle of nowhere, you're probably close. It's about as close as the remotest part of the Earth as I think you could get. Only about 15,000 people live on the island of Yap. They are descendants of tremendous seafaring peoples that came from Asia thousands of years ago, traveled in homemade double-walled canoes thousands of miles across the uncharted oceans of the Pacific to come to this remote island and settle there. They desperately need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've heard bits and pieces of it, but they are confused with false doctrines and with false traditional beliefs and with rampant immorality. And they need the Lord. And it's our desire to go and replace two veteran missionaries, Paul and Sherry Zimmer, while they're on furlough, and we seek to replace them and fill in the gap in Yap for approximately 4 months. Now, why? How? How is this possible? Why are you going, you might ask? The answer is simple. Trust and obey. You say, "Well, that's simplistic. We've heard that before." But you see, we are trusting in God's promises, and we're taking action on those promises to obey. It's no different in our eyes than what you might do in your daily life. You see that God has a promise. You believe Him. You take action. You trust and obey. There were other calls in the Scripture, maybe as dramatic as Isaiah, maybe not as dramatic. When Paul was confronted by Jesus on the Damascus Road, he said almost immediately, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And God gave him commission to be the apostle to the Gentiles. When Jesus called Matthew, he was counting money at the money changing tables, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Matthew testifies that immediately he arose and followed Jesus. When God called Noah, God gave him a task, and probably never having seen rain and not knowing what a flood involved, Noah built the ark and faithfully preached righteousness for 120 years, and as a result, saved himself and his family and began anew after the flood. Or God called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees, "Come out of your home country and go to a land that I will show you." And by faith, Abraham stepped out, left the land of his birth, and eventually went to Canaan. A person who responds to the call of foreign missions will trust that God tells the truth when He gives His promises, and he will take action on that truth by faith, thus obeying the Lord. Well, some of you may say, "Hey, Don, that's easy for you to say, because weren't you born a missionary? I mean, isn't it in your genes, in your blood? You were a missionary eons back into the 19th century, weren't you?" Well, it was the 20th century. And God allowed Karen and I to serve in East Africa, in Kenya and Uganda, during the 1980s and the 1990s. So I want to tell you how He worked that out, because it is a key to why we're doing what we're doing today. God called us separately. When Karen was 20 years old, God dramatically saved her out of an Eastern religion, the Baha'i cult. And 2 years after that, she attended a Southern Baptist Missions Conference in Ridgecrest, and she made a commitment to serve the Lord wherever He wanted to send her, particularly in the area of foreign missions. It was shortly after that that God allowed her to go to a seminary and begin studying to be a missionary. Well, in my life, I was saved at age 12 in a vacation Bible school. So the path to missions was much longer. But along the way, right after I was saved, I began obeying the Lord. I began seeking, what do I need to do to follow Him? And quite frankly, as a teenager, God preserved me from a lot of sin that my friends, my acquaintances were involved in, because I made decisions to follow the Lord. I made decisions to stay away from sin and to seek after righteousness. God blessed, and so by the age of 19, I was a student preacher for the church. I remember I preached my first sermon, and to my amazement, a lady made a profession of faith, and she later called me my pastor. I didn't know how to preach, but I saw that God could possibly use me. Within a couple of years of that, I told my pastor, "I really will not be fully fulfilled unless I'm serving the Lord in some area of Christian ministry." That led me to go to seminary, and I wanted to learn how to teach and to preach the Word of God wherever He would send me. After a few months at seminary, I made a commitment to serve the Lord not just anywhere, but beyond my own culture. I wanted to serve the Lord outside of the comforts of America. I was willing to let him direct me. In college, in Georgia State University, I got involved with a group of students that were committed to helping fulfill the Great Commission in our generation. And I got a map of the world, and I began praying for different countries. And as I prayed for different countries and different works around the world, I began more and more to pray about what was happening in Central Africa, particularly in Kenya and Uganda. Years later, in 1981, as a matter of fact, my wife and I arrived in Kenya with the task of helping to set up a Bible college. So God was fulfilling my prayers. God led us together, and we were married, both committed to serving the Lord, however he would open the door into foreign missions. On our honeymoon, we had stacks of information from a number of missions agencies, and we were pouring through them. The decision was already made. We will go. The question was, how? And we said to the Lord, Lord, if you open a door, we will go through it. God opened the door. And did I say we were married almost 40 years ago? Within 8 months of that, we made a decision to join a particular missions agency and to cut our ties, to leave my job in Atlanta, and to begin training for missionary work. Now, you may say, hey, that's fine then, but what about now? I mean, after all, this is just this is beyond normal. For you and your wife to go into missions now, it's, go ahead and say it, years have passed. And we are not the typical couple joining the worldwide New Testament Baptist mission. We have much to learn and much to be trained in. You might say, what you're doing is so outside of the box, you owe us an explanation. Well, again, the simple answer is we have decided to trust in God's promises and to take action on those promises and obey. For God promises, I will be with you always. I will never leave you. I will direct your paths. And we have decided we will obey his commands. Go into all the world. Be witnesses of me, even unto the uttermost part of the earth. Proclaim the gospel to every creature. As the Father hath sent me, said Jesus, so send I you. Well, you say, that sounds nice, but still doesn't answer the full question. You see, if you first decide you're going to trust God, the trust is meaningless without full action. And so we've just decided we are going to trust him, believe in his promises, believe he can take care of all the details, and step out on faith and believe he's going to work out wherever we go and whatever we do. Well, years ago, in Atlanta, Georgia, I was 26 years old, and I had what was considered a good ministerial position with a very large church in Atlanta. And I was preparing to submit my resignation so that I could go and join a mission agency and that Karen and I could enter foreign missions. Well, my dad found out about it, and he called me aside, and he gave me some friendly advice. He said, now, son, have you been accepted by this mission? I said, no. he said, do you have any promise of how much they're going to pay you? I said, no. He said, where is the money going to come from? I don't know. Where are they going to send you? We don't know yet. And he said, well, he said, it seems to me you have a good job where you are. And if you just work yourself up, you can climb the ladder in your church and get better job, and you'll have a successful career. So I said, thank you, Dad, but I believe God wants us to go now, if we can. Well, several years later, he said, you made the right decision, and I'm proud of you. And he became one of our most enthusiastic supporters or relatives, along with my mom. But initially, the ones that were most opposed to us leaving America and going to another land were those closest to us, many of our relatives, and yet many that were believers in the church said, this is great, this is fantastic, and they were very excited. Now, along the way, objections will arise. Now, if I were teaching in Master Club, I'd have a skit worked out, and I'd have a skeptic come up and interrupt me, and he would ask me all sorts of questions. But we're not in Master Club, and I don't have time. But it's natural for a person contemplating such a move from his homeland to another culture, sometimes another language, another people. It's natural to ask certain questions. And I've asked them. In this case, I've asked some with greater concern than others. But here are some questions. What if there is a terrorist attack? I mean, your plane could be hijacked, or there could be attack, and you could get kidnapped. What if there's a war? Well, the Lord reminds me, we've been through that before. We were in Kenya one Sunday morning, and we woke up to the sound of fireworks, except it wasn't fireworks. It was semi-automatics firing off in an attempted coup, and we were located in the middle of some of the fighting. The Lord brought us through that. Karen and I went to a neighboring country, Uganda, to teach a week of a Bible conference. And we walked into a country that was in the midst of a civil war. And several times we had to take certain actions to make sure that we were safe enough. God brought us through that. Well, here's another question. What about diseases? Well, I had to say to the Lord, we've been there too. I got malaria 4 times and almost died once. And finally, the last resort kind of medicine got rid of the malaria and brought me through. Karen also got sick by various parasites. And so we came through diseases. When I researched the island of Yap, it seemed like all the tropical diseases had come to Yap. And I was particularly concerned about mosquitoes because they like me. And I didn't want to be infected by dengue and Zika and malaria and whatever else they might carry. Well, the same morning that I was praying to God, what am I going to do about the mosquitoes? I'm committed to go, and there must be a way. A friend here in church said, I know what you can do. You can wear a little plastic bracelet that has an essential oil in it that keeps the mosquitoes away. And I learned that some wear, you can wear on your ankles, some on your wrist, some around your neck, sort of like a dog collar. So if you see pictures of me with a dog collar, don't think I went to the dogs. It's to keep the mosquitoes away. Well, what about if thieves rob you and steal your things? Been there. Thieves broke into our house, or that is, attempted to break into our house in Kenya once, broke into the neighboring duplex. Thieves broke into our car numerous times, and on one occasion, I lost all the clothing that I'd taken for a major trip. Actually returned after that trip with clothes that I was wearing, and that's what I had left. But we've been through that before. God replaces the things that we lose. That's not the important thing. You're not going to take that with you. What you lay up in heaven are souls. And we went to Africa not concerned about the diseases or the thievery or the coups or the terrorists. Our concern was the souls of men and women, that they are lost and dying unless they hear the gospel clearly proclaimed, unless they get the truth of scriptures and not from a cultic group. Well, aren't you going to miss America? I mean, what are you going to do if you get out there and there's no internet, or no American foods, or what if the phones don't work? Well, what if they don't? I think they sometimes work, but you can live with a lot of things that are missing in America. I mean, you can live without hot water. You can live without your favorite food. We found that in Africa, we were longing for certain American foods. Mine was peanut butter. And I ate the local peanut butter until I learned that it had a poison in it that could kill me. So then I stopped eating it. But here's the final question. What if the people you minister to do not listen? What if they don't like you coming? What if they just turn away from your message? Doesn't that mean you're going to be a failure? Well, you know what? Let's look at Isaiah again. What did God say to Isaiah? He said in verse 9, after Isaiah said, "Send me," and he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." Now jump down to verse 11. "Then said I, Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have moved men far away, and there is a great forsaking in the midst of the land." Here's the point. Was Isaiah a failure? No. But did the people respond? No. Well, some did, but not many. And God said, why? Paul, when he quoted this verse 9 and 10, he explained that the Jews had willingly closed their ears. Even though they could hear physically, they had willingly stopped their ears. They were unwilling to listen. Even though their eyes were open, they had willingly blinded them so that they would not perceive the truth. But Isaiah's task was to go ahead and proclaim God's truth anyway. The measure of success of a missionary or of anyone is not based on our idea of results. It's based on, did you do what God said to do? Did you obey God? You know stories of many missionaries who labored year after year, decade after decade, and saw little or no results. Sometimes they passed on, and someone came to replace them and reaped a great harvest. who was the success? Both. In Isaiah's case, he was allowed to give prophecies of the Messiah. He was allowed to prophesy all the way, not only to Jesus' first coming, but to the second coming, to the millennial kingdom, and to the new heaven and to the new earth. Isaiah was able to give us the full scope of prophetic history in advance. And yet, in his 40 or 50 years of ministry, he saw very little of what we would call fruit. And yet, God used him in a tremendous way. So the question, what if they don't respond? We will do what God said to do. We will go, we will proclaim his truth, we will trust God for the results. So now you're scratching your head. Okay, now that you've kind of explained where you've come from and why you're going, but this place of Yap, I mean, 15,000 or so people out in the middle of, where did you say it was? Yeah, the Pacific Ocean, somewhere out there. Why now, why Yap? Well, some interesting things. God has allowed us at this particular time in our lives to be ready and available to go. We are going on your behalf. God has allowed us to be out of debt. God has allowed us to have previous training. We're trained in how to communicate in other cultures. God has allowed us to have relatively good health, not perfect. More than that, God has given us an overwhelming, compelling desire to serve him in this manner. Many of you have heard me in speaking and in prayers, and some of you in Master Club. Maybe you've discerned there is a theme. Obey God and trust him and serve him wherever he wants to put you. Well, when Karen and I started in our mission work and we joined that first mission agency, we said, Lord, we will go anywhere. Hey, you know, you watch out. If you pray that, be ready. And at the time, and this was way back in ancient history in 1980, I prayed, Lord, send me anywhere, but I'd rather not go to the inner city. I don't particularly like the inner city. Well, where do you suppose God chose to send us for 3.5 months of missionary training? South Central Los Angeles, perhaps the drug and riot capital of America, the actual place where in the 60s they had the Watts riots, a generation later, the Rodney King riots, and I don't know what kind of riots they're ready to have now. But it was a dangerous place. We worked there in a church for 3.5 months. Sometimes, and a whole day would pass, and we never saw anybody with our color skin. That's the kind of situation we were in. Well, it was preparation, because guess what we found when we went to Africa? Similar situation. God, though, trained us in a place where we wouldn't have made our first choice. So when we joined Worldwide New Testament Baptist Mission, we said, Lord, we don't really have a specific place in mind, but wherever you want to send us. From the world standpoint, big mistake, never should have said that. And so we were challenged to consider relieving out 2 missionaries in Yap. Now, all the while I had said wherever, there was in the back of my mind, as long as I don't get malaria again, I don't want to die again, or almost die. Well, then we researched the app and found out it doesn't have malaria, but it's got just about every other mosquito-borne disease. But God's taken care of that. Now, in closing, here's an interesting thing. With Yap, God arranged the timing. We can leave. Our son will be staying in our house and care for things while we're gone for 4 months. So the 4 month window of time fits. Not only that, but the people of Yap are considered a non-literate people. And do you know how they like to have the Bible taught to them? Through stories and skits. That's interesting. That's interesting. So I've made inquiries, and will the biblically based skits that I've produced, will they fit? And so it looks like they might fit. So I hope that maybe in a couple of months I can write back to you and tell you, well, we did the skit on the temptation of Adam and Eve, or we did the skit on Rahab rescuing the two spies. And so maybe, just maybe, some of the things that I've been doing in Master Club will apply to Yap. Well, we have the opportunity to be your representatives. It is a high privilege. When Karen and I first started in missions more than 40 years ago, or 40 years ago or so, we said it is the highest privilege to be able to go and serve the Lord in another culture. But we also said we don't consider ourselves super saints or superior. We are simply obeying what God has told us to do at this point in our lives. We say the same thing today. God has a will for every one of you. Most of you, His will is stay here and continue to serve Him and glorify Him and do what you need to do. God has allowed us a bit of flexibility, and so at this time we say we're willing to go, then we will go. We are simply trusting and obeying the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to explain to the church how you're working in our lives, how you've led us, and how you are directing us to once again trust you and once again allow us to bring the truths of the Word of God and to bring the clear gospel to the people of Yap. I want to pray that you would begin preparing the people there for receiving your word, however you want me to deliver it, and be preparing them for receiving the right doctrine of salvation so that they may hear with open ears, they may hear with understanding hearts, and be saved. And it's in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.